Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and thank you one and all for being with us, taking a little bit of your time to hang out and listen to what we're doing. And I'm very excited about our guest tonight. Sandra Harrick does some amazing work, but the way I was introduced to her is a lot of fun. So we will tell you about that in a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And first of all, it's St. Patrick's Day. So to those that are celebrating and enjoying it, all my Irish friends, I grew up in Brooklyn, but there's no evidence that I actually grew up. So when I was a child in Brooklyn, a lot of my friends were Irish. So I'm very familiar with a lot of the things that go on for St. Patrick's Day, and it's a very big deal in New York City. So again, my best wishes for St. Patrick's Day. But I want to tell you a personal story about stuff that went on this week, because it'll give you an idea of, you know, people think that if you're on the radio and you do this healing work and everything else, you have it all together and you must not have big problems with, you know, stuff happening to you. No, that's not how it works. I went to visit my daughter and celebrate her birthday on Saturday in Boston. And then I went to a party with some friends who are the friends I spend Thanksgiving with. They do a pickup Thanksgiving for people that don't have family to go to. And so we've become each other's family, and we've been doing it for years. Wonderful folks. And I knew that the woman of the household was going through her own personal cathartic stuff, but didn't think much of it. And I was glad I'd finally get to see her and give her a hug. And so I went and had a very good time, but was feeling a little out of it and tired, and a lot of driving in one day. And I got home, and in the middle of the night, I rolled over to change my position, and the room started to spin. And I've never had vertigo before. It's really scary. So I managed to settle down and sleep some more. And then when I got up, got up out of bed in the morning, it happened again, only more dramatic. So I managed to settle it all down, but it was pretty freaky. And I wasn't feeling very well. And what in the world was going on? Excuse me. So after, you know, having breakfast and mumbling to myself about what in the world is going on, since I do remote healing, I can do healing on myself. And I did my procedure for checking myself, and I had picked up all kinds of what I call schmuggies, all kinds of parasitic entities and stuff that was attached to me. Who knows where that came from? So I cleaned all that up and felt a little bit better, but still wasn't right, and it was still confusing. And one of the advantages to knowing all the people I know, partly from interviewing them, but also people I know from all over the place that are colleagues, and we share work with each other, you know, take a look at this for me because you do more of this than I do, and shop talk is pretty funny among remote healers. So I started going down my list of friends and colleagues and putting out a call for help and saying, I don't know what's going on. Would you take a look? And each one of them works very differently. Each one of them has a different kind of sensitivity, a different frame of reference that they describe things from. And each of them did, in effect, another layer, a different kind of work. One of the friends who happens to be from Boston actually called me up so we could talk it through while she was working on me, and that was very helpful. And I guess it was four different people, including the next day, my dear colleague in Australia who cleaned up all the stuff that had gone on, and still feeling like I have, you know, some kind of virus or something. My body doesn't feel quite right, and it may not actually be a virus, but that's what it feels like. But had I gone to the emergency room, had I just freaked out and gotten someone to give me a ride or called an ambulance, they would have done all the stuff that they usually do and lots of tests and all the rest of it, and they wouldn't have found anything. And they might have given me medication to, you know, make my sensations go away and dull what was going on, but they wouldn't have really been able to address all the different things that these other people had dealt with. And I don't denigrate scientific medicine at all. There are things that we really need them for. But especially for folks like me, who are very sensitive to all kinds of things and affected by all kinds of things, like solar flares, which we've talked about, and like the effects of the moon, which we've talked about on the show several times, the approach is not going to get to the kinds of things that are causing the symptoms that I'm having and making me feel the way I'm feeling. So it's very interesting being someone who's sensitive and having all that happen. I'm very grateful to all my friends who help me out all the time, and I help them out, constantly working on other healers so we can all keep doing the work. But as usual, I'm just giving you a different way of looking at the world and realizing that some of the things that may be feeling really weird in your body may not necessarily be the obvious scientific explanation, like it's a virus or it's a cold or I sprained a muscle, or it may be that plus something else. So there's more to it for almost anything. And the scientific fact that I love to let people chew on is we focus on the physical world and think that most of the universe is physical, except what physicists tell us is that only 3.7% of everything in the universe is particles that have mass. Everything else is energy, and mostly they don't have a way to understand it and measure it yet. So they call it things like dark energy, which just means we can't measure it. There's a lot going on that there are no explanations for, but mystics and shamans and healers all over the world are still working with that stuff and have been for thousands of years. So we're doing what Einstein described. Everything is energy. Some of it is particles. So I hope you're having a wonderful week. I wish you perfect health, and I wish it for myself as well. And that's the end of tonight's strange metaphysical music. And let's have some fun with tonight's guest, Sandra Harrick. Thank you so much for being on the show, Sandra.
Thank you, David. Thank you for asking me. It's wonderful to be here. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
And I love the way that I was introduced to you. I go to a chiropractor who's an hour away from me. Who does wonderful work, obviously, because I'm willing to travel that distance. And there is a massage practitioner who works out of the same office, and we've chatted a few times, and she knows what I do. And she came out one day, and she said, oh, you know, this friend of mine has a radio show, too, and she does amazing work, and you should have her on the show. And she was just very excited about you and what you do and gave me your card. And it's not often that I get that kind of a personal, very emotional, you got to have this person on your show. So I'm excited to find out what you're up to.
Okay, have at it. What do you want to know?
Well, I always start by asking folks, what was your journey? How did you wind up doing this? How did your life unfold that way? What was the walk about?
Okay. You know, it's amazing. I'm someone who has first of all, I work with healing. I work with energy. I'm an intuitive and medium and animal communicator and all the things that are in the titles of people who work with energy. I really do work with the spectrum of it. So it's very difficult for me on many levels to really explain what I do. So sure. Sometimes we label it, but it's vast, and I know you appreciate that and you understand that. So when I'm asked, you know, how did I get involved with this, I honestly was born into this frequency. I was born mm-hmm. with a family. I come from a family of 7 children. I'm the second. And so we have a tribal feeling. And it's interesting that in that sense of being tribal, we were very intuitive, or are intuitive, and have an instinct for being with each other or connected. And we also had, I lived in Southern Connecticut and lived as, again, this tribal energy in a beautiful suburb that actually had Indians living there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. So there was a mysticism around us. I'm 68 years old, so I'm talking when I'm young, in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Nobody was talking about this unless you had a turban and some kind of, you know, gem in the middle of your head. So this was all very intimate. And what was that? Or what do you think of that? Or there was a bump in the night. And it really became very deeply emotionally experienced while I was getting divorced. I got married in 69 to a Vietnam vet who I knew in high school, and of course, unfortunately, was tragically altered in his soul by going to Vietnam. And yet I have to parallel my love for him and our relationship, because it was literally the trauma to his soul and the love that we have to this day and had then that warped my life in, this is not going to be lived a normal way. It's not going to be, I'm not going to have to pick a fence and be a housewife. And even as I describe it, I mean, I want to really welcome all your listeners to the sensitivity of when all of a sudden you are with someone and the ether changes, the mm-hmm. dimension changes, the souls change, and you feel the rub that, interestingly enough, instead of breaking us up and destroying our lives, it broke us up and created our lives. And I say that with the deepest respect to my ex, John, because the karma between us forced me to live a life in such a different direction than be married, have children, and use that path as my destiny. And the curiosity that developed inside me, David, was so strong into what happened to this man's soul. What happened to the soul of the men that were my peers, that were being annihilated and altered. And, you know, other wars do the same thing, but this is my peer group. To right. see them come home vacant, traumatized, absent of who they were when they left, really brought this inertia inside me to care on a very different level for humankind. And that was really the cutting edge of where my direction was brought into. God bless my mother. I moved back home, and she was sitting in the chair in the living room reading a newspaper and happened to say, as I walked through from the garage to the living room to the kitchen, "Hey, Sandy, I'm reading this ad about psychic development and personal awareness and know if somebody's lying to you." And I literally turned to her and I said, "I don't care if it costs $1,000, I'm going." And that was literally in 1971.
Yep.
And the program turned out to be Mind Dynamics. It's like a silver mine control. Yes, are you familiar?
Well, we're close to the same age, and I also am from the New York area. So, yes, I know what that was.
Okay. And so I took it, and it was my baptism. I mean, I was brought Catholic, and my bones are Catholic, and I left the church. But, you know, if the plane goes down, I'll always make the sign of the cross.
Sure.
But the first time that I was brought into, it was no longer intuition between our family or ghosts that were traveling through the house. This was that mind development program that ignited my psyche into the phenomena of telecommunication, of hands-on healing, of being able to do readings on people, to go in and find out what guides were. So this was a whole new vocabulary, a whole new world, and I was then hired by the owner of the program in Stamford, Connecticut, to be the demonstrator. So that if, you know, he would have these little lectures and sales pitches, and then I would go on stage at, the ripe age of 23 years old, and I would do the psychic reading for people. Would give me their initials or someone's initials, age, and sex, and where they lived, and I would do these readings. And so this developed because I was literally pointed into a direction that I had no awareness that even existed. And again, if my marriage didn't go through what it did, or, you know, God knows what would have happened. But that's how it started, that I was brought into this organization. They saw something inside me that I didn't even know I had. And through repetition of doing it and then exploring and then finding other psychics in the area, going to meditation classes, going, you know, in the 70s, it's when it kind of, as you know, then, as if you're my age, it started to snowball. And right. It kind of came out of the closet. And I knocked on wood because, David, I'm one of the pioneers, as then you are, with what got started from the ancient wonderment of things that kind of had to go underground, became slowly but surely intrigue, education, phenomena, and it brings us to today. So I'm actually self-employed with this for over 40 years and doing this with people all around the world. It's taken me around the world, and I'm blessed because of some of the most horrendous things that have happened to me that have, you know, kind of shoved me down the road to my own destiny. It wasn't always by choice, believe me.
Yeah, kicking and screaming. I totally understand that one.
Absolutely. The good news is I was loved. The bad news is I was like, what do you want of me now? And, you know, hindsight's 2020. It's and each decade, David, each decade was filled with its own trials and tribulations and learnings that I have to say, and to so many of your wonderful listeners, that it wasn't so much I was learning something, I was learning that I was remembering something.
Right.
That every experience almost walked inside my soul. I lived in Europe. Spirit took me to Europe. I lived out in California. I lived in New Mexico. I've lived in Canada. And going to Europe because my spirit guide, Sir Charles, who's a dear, dear companion, literally told one of my classes that I was teaching in Santa Barbara back in the late 70s that Sandra will be going to Switzerland in a year and a half. And sure enough, I got on a plane and went to Switzerland, and, you know, 30 some odd years later, oh my God. And I'm that kind of a, what can I say about that? That cared for by my spirit guides that when they tell me something that blatantly, I may question it, I may, you know, kick and moan, but when I do it, it really is astounding what karma has unfolded and develops my life. So that's how it started and continues.
wonderful, wonderful way to live. You know, you had that little throwaway line in there, what would you have me do now? Which right. I think is the key to all of this and allowing this to unfold in your life. And it's the question a shaman asks all day. Yeah. And then, of course, there's the argument that you have as soon as they tell you, and you want me to do what?
You want what?
Is it going to kill me? Will it hurt a lot?
Eventually. You know?
But I was interviewed a couple of weeks ago, and he said, well, how did you wind up? You know, he was following up on things I said. And, you know, do you think it was destiny or karma? And I said, you know, at every turning point, I had a choice.
Yes.
I was given an opportunity. Something was presented to me that might have been scary or different or whatever it was. And at each of those turning points, I made a choice to keep going.
Yes.
To do another thing.
Yes.
And it was never predictable. I never knew exactly where it was going. But it's making those choices instead of saying, no, that's too weird. Or that's right. too scary, or people will think badly of me, or whatever the excuse is that comes into your head, and instead just go, oh, here we go again.
Right. Right.
It's going to be one of those days, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And, it's, you know, to be scared sometimes, or I'd even say just deeply curious, or, you know, why are you asking me this, or do I have to? I mean, when my spirit guide said, you're going to Switzerland, you know, be with Sandra what you're going to do because she's going to be leaving. I thought literally inside myself when I heard it, it was like, maybe San Francisco. And, and I even went to San Francisco because I was in Santa Barbara at the time, you know, and went up there and it was like, I think I'll just come here. And again, vibrationally, San Francisco said no. And mm-hmm. when a place says, well, I want to try you, and it says no, it's really important to listen, knowing that the magnetic pull, once I really started moving towards Switzerland, again, I was 34 years old when that happened, the rest of my life took the corner to the rest of my life.
Right.
I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Never even desiring go to Europe. And yet, just put my to land in Geneva, and to have it just unfold for me, not knowing anybody, but 3 weeks before I was going to go, someone shows up and, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, what are you doing? She goes, well, I'm going to Geneva. I thought, oh, my God. And she picked me up at the airport.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it, you know, but who knows? And I am devoted to it. You know, you say we have choice, and you're absolutely right in that beauty of knowing that my choice is to accept or to reject. And it is amazing how many times or how little I reject, if really ever.
Right.
You know,
right.
But
from people looking at it from the outside and saying, how could it possibly have been this way? The part they don't get is that something is presented to you and you choose to do it.
Yes.
Which is very
Absolutely.
Powerful. We're going to have a break in a little bit, and I want to make sure people know where to find you. What's your website?
Absolutely. My website is all one word, soulawakenings.org, soulawakenings.org, or just Google Sandra Herrick, Harrick, and that will bring you to everything.
Right. And I know you're also on Facebook.
I am. I'm on Facebook, Sandra Herrick, Harrick, and also Soul Sessions for my radio shows that I do.
Terrific. Excellent. Are you doing anything in the next few weeks that the folks should know about? Do you have anything coming up?
Actually, down in Hainville, I'll be working at the Healing Arts Sanctuary. I don't have the dates right in front of me, but I can get it for you. April 9th, I'm going to be doing a workshop on healing with love. Literally, there's so many techniques,
Fantastic.
And that's the everything, but I'm really going for, and my spirit guides are directing me to really work with love.
Excellent. I'd love to hear more about that when we come back.
Absolutely.
So We are going to go to a break in just a minute, and we will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest today is Sandra Harrick, and this is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
These days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home. I'm home. And I love it. I'm home. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree. Yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the inventnow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Sandra Harrick, and we've just been listening to how her life unfolded in quite a magical way. And Sandra, this is one of the most important things that I like doing on the show, is giving people an idea of how a life unfolds this way, and that even though you were a psychic kid, there was this whole process that went on for decades with adventures and decisions and opportunities that unfolded.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, in that process, it's the enrichment of developing a certain aspect of your own character and character development. Being karmically a part of metaphysics for so many lifetimes, and to have the right and privilege to be here now in this time, is really quite dynamic and powerful, And it's all about the integrity now of metaphysics and that spirituality for me, in knowing that whatever's happened has happened, but it gave and gives to me an incredible credibility. It gives me a base to stand on, because it's not something I grew up wanting to be. I found out it's something I grew into because it's what I am.
Right.
And
right.
To have to really learn how to interact with power, phenomena, to be at the table of humility and embarrassment or shame of what do you know, what don't you know, and how you're learning it. The dignity of knowing that spirit embraces us in a way that says, come and learn, and I dare you to discover who you are.
I love that. Beautifully.
Thank you.
Beautifully, but.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Part of the most basic decision or difference in people that choose to live this way is just being seen as different and eccentric in a country that doesn't particularly value or enjoy their eccentrics. You know, if you're
right.
An eccentric in England, everybody goes, oh, he's a lot of fun, and they take care of their neighborhood
right.
eccentric, and everybody watches out for him.
Right.
Here, people are afraid.
Right. Well, you know, and therefore, there is that place of choosing how you represent yourself.
Right.
You know, I'm going to belch. Here we go. Okay, when I belch, spirits in the room. So there's a PowerPoint here that just kind of come right through me when I do my work. It's like it puts the exclamation point in it. When I wear my uniform, you know, what is the uniform that anyone wears when they are doing the work? And it is amazing to see that my uniform is the simplicity of, you know, growing up when I did jeans. Dave, God bless, blue jeans were created. I wore my jeans. And to know that there is that place where I am not a colorful person in, I display it with lots of brightness or boldness or whatnot. I'm extremely classic. I'm very basic in the way I dress, or, you know, when people come to my office, I don't have a lot of flitter and glitter. I'm not that type of person. I have a very stable, I think the best way I can describe it is, if people come in, there's a safety. There's a real primary safety. And I don't look eccentric, even though I live eccentrically.
Right.
I've grown up because I've, you know, my love for horses. I was able to get horses in my life. And we've traveled. I moved over 50 times because spirit says, you're done. Get out of here. Or you're out of here because you're done.
Right. Right.
And if you don't go, you will be done. And to know that the places that I've always moved to, even in the chaos of the upheaval, brought me to the absolute perfection of the next point of life.
Mm-hmm.
So there was always the end and always a beginning. Even though I'm living a life in a consistent lifestyle, the chaos in my life, and I know you would feel this, is when an episode is done, it's done.
And
I can't go back.
Yeah, you were saying how a place calls you, but what's clearer for me is when I am someplace and it's done. It's time to move on. And typically, everything that was working just starts to fall apart and collapse around you. at least for
Absolutely.
Me. And it's like, oh, look at this. I guess yes. it's time to go somewhere else. Now, where am I going? What am I doing?
Exactly. Exactly. And if my antenna doesn't catch it, you know, it's like, anybody want to help?
Right. But right. Somebody will, you know, get your attention one way or another, whether it's a physical person or spirit. But yeah, there's been many, many times when suddenly all the things that were working weren't working. It's like, oh, really?
Yes.
Thought I was going to be here longer than
empty,
this.
It's
but,
empty.
Yeah. And then it's that same question. What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What next? And where's the work? Where do you need me now?
Work. Yes. And, you know, that's literally, if you want to talk about everything that points into the direction of what is this life about for me, it's about the work. That the purpose of the work, the ability to work, the incredible honor to do the work. And I mean, literally, the thousands and thousands of people that I have been blessed to be able to encounter, either in groups or one-on-one or in lectures around the world, each one is exclusive. Each one literally is an intimate moment that, and I will be bold and honest, fills me with the reality of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not working, there's a void. There's that same place of, am I okay? Are we doing it right? You know, what's next, or how to do it next? And, or what is there next to do? And it is amazing, again, like in you know, every 4 years I was moving, and again, I've moved over 50 some odd times, to know that even to go to another culture, to learn another language, the challenge was something that demanded so much of me to be out of my fear, even if I was sad or homesick, or like, how do you get back from Switzerland if it's not going to work out?
Right.
But to realize that the work feeds my soul, that literally is the obligation of being privileged to do what I do, honored with the responsibility of what I have to do, and the love I have in doing it, and the incredible fragility and tenderness to sit before someone and have them reveal themselves, or even more honestly, give us, the healers or the seers or the readers, the task of revealing themselves to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Be that mirror for them.
Yeah.
And that takes years to develop that, I think, that precious fiber and tissue to touch it or look through it or to work with it respectfully, lovingly, and not just be, I want to be this, so let me do it.
Right.
So it's quite a challenge.
Yeah, in my experience, the people who really want to be it are the ones that have the most problems and cause the most problems.
Well, when it's just that I want to be, rather than this is who I am, how do
right.
I develop?
Right. I always prefer the people who are totally surprised at who they wound up being and where they are, what they're doing.
Yeah. And yet there are those incredible individuals that are just born brilliantly
right.
and know their destiny. And, you know, I like the beauty of when I sit with a client that I don't rely on my tools. I got a bag of tools, so you come to me and I got these tools. I know the tools are there, but I never, ever assume what will be needed for for the person until they sit before me.
Right.
And to know that no matter what I've got, what they need may need to come from my collaboration with their spirits in the instant we meet. So I can't be just assuming I know what I know. I always have to be available to whatever you're going to teach me in this instant, spirit, whatever this person needs, may I be that arc, that conduit. You know, the 911 call,
right.
Let me be the vessel. Allow me, you know, I'm the conduit. I know. I volunteer. I choose to be the conduit. And David, as you know so well, when I'm not, to respectfully concede, you're not mine to be with,
mm-hmm.
and to refer them on or to release them so they can find their way. So, yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a very big deal, and I love being able to have these conversations with someone who has such clarity and can express it so well, because there's so many people that listen because they're trying to figure it out. You know, what's this all about? How is my life changing? How does one do this? And this kind of conversation really explains the process rather than gives them a cookbook, and that's so valuable. So thank you.
I thank you. And I do. I treasure anyone who is on the path looking, and I am, you know, I can be a hard ass. I'll live close to New York, honey. So it was like, you know, I can love you deeper than ever before and also hold the line and go, you can't cross here.
Right.
So there is that place of knowing that, again, because I've had horses, there's that place of, if you're going to run, you know, you better know how to ride.
Right.
And
well,
when you're,
I always laugh. I clear a lot of dark stuff that other people are either unable to clear or not willing to, for good reason. And why am I the guy? I don't know, you know.
Absolutely.
But there is a piece of being able to do that work that definitely comes from Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's a certain streetwiseness that goes with attitude. And
right.
There's an edge. So I agree with you. Absolutely, there's an edge. And it is the environmental soul connection to, you know, if you walk the street, you better know how to fight. And if you're called to fight, you better know what you're fighting for. And so there is that integrity of somewhere you have to know who you are so that when you're called upon, you can make decisions from that place in your soul, not just to hope that your ego will show up and somebody will give you an attaboy for trying. You know,
right.
Because there are those moments in healing where this is a person's soul that's really facing life and death in, without exaggerating, that instant of how their soul will either survive, thrive, or say, I'm done.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's wonderful work. It's absolutely awe-dropping. I'm never without awe at the end of any session. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's, I frequently look at my life in total amazement. You know, one of the things that happens is, you know, people will say things like, so are you a gamer? Do you, you know, you talk like a gamer. And I'm like, why would I play a video game when my life is like a video game? You know, I meet amazing, I'm confronted by things that would scare everybody else. I meet people of power who give me objects of power that I need in that moment to do. The game's based on what I do.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's where that stuff comes from. It's
yes.
It's from the mystical traditions and the shamanic traditions of how you walk through the difficulties to accomplish what you came here to accomplish. And of course, there aren't that many people I can tell the details of it because lots of people would just either roll their eyes or be scared by it. So right. I the friends I can do that with are precious.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I believe that incredible space of reality where, again, the integrity of you know who you can say things to, and there is a place where if I have to try to convince somebody of my world, and I get that feeling inside me that they're not going to believe you even if you try to convince them, right. Then you can say certain things, but leave out the other details, because I'm really finished with defending my life. You know, that's part of growing up in this phenomena also is who are we defending ourselves to, or who do we hope believe us? And I'm at that place where, you know, God, this is it. You know what you made, and here it is.
Well, and the disbelief is, and the disbelief is usually based on fear. What would it mean in my understanding of who I am and being in the world if what they're saying is true? Because absolutely. I've been told all my life it can't be true, or it's bad, wrong, and dangerous. And what if it's okay? Who am I then? What? How does the world work then?
Absolutely.
So it's big. I know it's big existential questions.
At some level.
Say again?
I said everything is only a point of view at some level.
Right.
Where I can tell you my view. You can tell me your view. Somebody else can tell them, you know, their view. And, you know, the truth at that moment is so vast and so big and so real, but only at the point of how someone either can interpret it or the way they experience it. And I mean that out of that incredible space of who are you talking to? Who believes so strongly in their identity, in their life, that if I explain to them mine, that I then am condemned because of their point of view as I'm explaining mine. So that point of view is so important of seeing is believing. Am I telling you something because I hope you believe me, or this is my belief system, or am I telling somebody because I want to rile something up? So that point of view is so important. So when I listen to anybody, I really listen to, okay, what's your walk? How do you experience it? How do you feel about it? And what is your point of view about your life?
Right.
What's your point of view? And that's why I say, you know, to know who we are, I think it's very important for healers to know who they are. So the point of view is it through compassion, or is it through your modality? Is it through your religiousness or through a cultural education? You know, how does one see in the point of view of energy and then interpret it? So that's the mandala of life in itself.
Indeed. And again, well put.
Thank you.
I'm enjoying the conversation and the way you explain things.
Thank you very much. I'd love to come back.
And I'd love to have you back. And we're not quite out of time, but we're getting there.
Oh, my God, it went so fast.
It always goes quickly. And it's because we're just hanging out, having fun, having a conversation. And that's how it should be with an interview. A lot of interviews are much more formal. So,
yeah, this is non-scripted, everybody. So this is, you know, I'm having a glass of water. Sorry, it's not a glass of wine.
You could have the wine later.
I will.
We could both break out in New York accents and nobody would
really
understand.
Fast.
Nobody would understand. Forget about it.
It's true. So tell me something. What's brought you here? To who you are?
We don't have enough time.
Well,
my usual joke is my usual joke is that my life did not unfold the way my junior high school guidance counselor expected it to.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
I sort of went in that direction, but nah.
And, it was my upbringing. It was always, Sandy, you better learn how to type. And I said, I can type really fast, but I can't spell. Such the dilemma.
Right. Well, I was supposed to be an electrical engineer and save the world from the communist menace after Sputnik went up.
Oh, my God.
You know, because I was smart and had had manual skills. I was really good with my hands and loved electrical stuff and all that. And math, not so much. My first calculus class in engineering school was like, oh, this is not going to work.
Well, but, it's interesting because you are then also of that age of, even though Sputnik was going up, I don't know if you ever heard of the book Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain.
Oh, sure.
That Russia was absolutely far advanced than, more advanced than the U.S. in psychic discovery, kinesiology, you know, what do you call it, long-distance sight,
remote viewing, which we caught up with a little bit, but they didn't have the resistance in their culture. They had within their culture psychics who were just accepted and part of how things worked.
Absolutely.
So they didn't have that resistance to deal with. They just said, oh, we should use this.
Yes.
And then our government said, oh, they're doing this. We better figure it out.
And the shamans, you know, the really long bloodlines of shamanism in Russia is phenomenal.
Yeah. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, in Russia and especially Arctic Russia and Mongolia and all that. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this time we really are running out of time.
Aww.
but we will do more, and okay, we live close to each other, and we can hang out, so which I would love to do. My guest is Sandra Harrick. Tell us again what your website is.
Soulawakenings.org. SoulAwakenings.org. And again, just Google me, Sandra Harrick, HARRICK, and you'll find all the information about me. And hope to meet you.
And wonderful to meet you. And it's always fun when somebody's on the show and they're not that far away. We'll figure out some place to get together for coffee. Get together for coffee when you come down in this
direction. Absolutely.
Stay on the line for a few minutes after the show, and we'll be able to chat a little bit more.
Okay. Thank you so much. And good night, everybody. Happy thanks. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Absolutely. And I didn't even wear any green. God, what was I thinking?
Ay, ay, ay.
So, again, my guest is Sandra Harrick. And if you got curious at all about who's this guy David and what in the world does he do, you can look at househealing.com. And cleverly hiding in plain view is every conceivable technology I could figure out for you to get a hold of me, including a scheduling link. I do a 20-minute free assessment of what's going on with a person, place, situation, and we can see if my remote healing work might be helpful. If you want more information about the show, again, cleverly hiding in plain view, it's at thefarkasfiles.com, and the show is on Empower Radio every day, has 24/7 of positive shows, but the Farkas Files is on at 9 p.m. every day with a show from the archive. We have hundreds of wonderful interviews. On Thursday, we do the live recording of a new show. So that's what you're listening to tonight, and isn't it fun? But also, you can listen to us on almost all the streaming media outlets. So iTunes Podcast, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and probably the most exciting thing, because we've been waiting for it for a long time, we have our own mobile app for both platforms, Android and Apple. And install the app, choose the Farkas Files, and you will get the entire list of every show that we ever did, starting with this week's show and going backwards. And you can listen right from your phone. So that It's amazing to me how easy it is now for people to listen to us and to listen to us from all over the world. I get messages from places I could not even have imagined that you're sitting there and listening to the show and to me prattle on about whatever I'm talking about that night. It's just incredibly exciting that we can do this. And thank you so much for spending some of your time with us. And I hope you enjoy what we do. So until next time, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.